Welcome to the Tech Connect Podcast. It's time to get connected.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Tech Connect Podcast, your place to find hot news, topics, trends, and of course, technology in the IT reseller channel. I am John Martin. I am a content marketing specialist here at Blue Star. I've been with the company for almost 3 years now. Across from me is Dean Reverman. Dean, introduce yourself.
Hello, thank you very much. Glad to be here today. Very excited about kicking off this Tech Connect Podcast and enabling by bringing education to our partners. I'm Dean Reverman. I've been in the industry for, well, I've been with Blue Star for almost a decade now. Been in marketing for well over 20 years. Don't like to admit that. But anyway, we're going to be talking about marketing today, but we're also going to be talking about a lot of different topics as we move forward. So very excited about it.
Definitely. Yep. We want to thank our founding members who are helping us support this particular podcast. That would be Elo, Epson, Honeywell, Star Micronics, and Zebra. I did those in alphabetical order, so we're not showing favorites.
There you go.
We love you all, but thank you so much for helping us out and getting us underway in this podcast. So this is our first episode. We're very excited to get started. We have a great guest here with us. We've brought in James Cordy, our digital marketing manager here at Blue Star. And today we're going to talk a little bit about some marketing in a crisis. But first, I thought we'd kick off with just a little conversation about our current situation as we are recording this near the end of April. We're still in pandemic mode. We're still working from home most of the time. We're pretty excited to actually come here and work in the studio for a day and spend some time together. So I wanted to find out from you guys, like, what's your routine look like right now? How's working from home going? How are you feeling about all this?
Cordy?
It's been an adjustment period for me. I will say that in the first couple weeks, I wasn't totally settled in. It's been interesting, but I will say that over the last, gosh, how many weeks did we say it's been? Five?
Yeah.
The last 3 weeks, I've really, really settled into being in my own space again. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to kind of realize that and recognize it. But gosh, I remember post-college, I lived by myself. I always lived by myself until my wife and I moved in together before we were married. But it was a number of years in being in your own space, having all the tools at your disposal with no one else there, you know, at least in the same room, it's taken me back a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to experiment with stuff that, you know, quite frankly, has made me uncomfortable in the past, being on video, just doing some, feeling more creative than ever because I'm in my own space again.
And
I've also been, you know, I know that very smart people have given the tip to kind of keep your routine.
Got to keep the routine going, right?
And I certainly have in terms of getting up, getting in the shower, eating, you know, doing what I do to help out with the kids before I kind of, you know, lock myself away and do work. But I have been prioritizing comfort, which you may or may not have noticed in the video conferences. You know, I love the idea of wearing t-shirts and, you know, comfortable sweatpants or whatever it is. So, yeah, I've been doing that. And I still feel, as much as when I, you know, do put on a suit or really dress up, it does make you feel different. Mm-hmm. I still feel like I'm, you know, ready to lock in and get stuff done when I'm in my t-shirt.
Well, but here's where I'm at with the new routine, if you will. And so, or the work from home. So, okay, everybody's working from home, but I got kids. You got kids. Mm-hmm. You got kids. That's an extra level that I don't know that anybody's, you know, well, I certainly recognize it now. So work from home, I got that. Right. I can work from home. I'm a relatively disciplined kind of guy. Get up in the morning, do my run, whatever, do my workout. Yeah, I've been keeping my routine and all that's well and good. I can work at home as though I'm working in the office. But when you throw in the variable of kids and everything else that happens at a house, delivery people coming by, mom's dropping off art supplies so that she can do, you know, these other distractions, dude, that's right?
Yep.
It's different. It's different
than
working from home. It's working from home. It's parenting from home, which you normally do. It's schooling from home. It's everything.
Yeah, I forget where I read this or heard it, but someone made the point, and they used the example of the guy. I want to say he was on BCC a few years back. very serious, very dressed up, but he's in his home office clearly.
Yes, yeah. I love that yeah. one.
He's like on live TV, right? Yeah. And his kids come in and he freaks out, you know, as I would have in that situation too.
And the wife comes in.
Racing
it. Oh yeah, like, yeah it's awesome. It's hilarious. But the point was, we're all at home. A lot of people have kids. Your kids come in, don't freak out about it. And I found myself reacting both right. ways. And then I'm always the reflective type where I'm like, oh man, I kind of snapped. It's not that, you know, everyone's got kids at home.
Yeah.
One of the cool things that I feel like I've gotten to do was with my 9-year-old. So my wife, Abby, has been taking the lion's share of that. I mean, all of that mm-hmm. homeschooling for three kids. Well, really two. The youngest is preschool. And he doesn't really have much to do. But Connor will come in every now and again, my 9-year-old, and say, hey, Dad, you know, I'm rewriting a Cinderella story. I need to change the characters, change the story. And I've really, it's been cool to help and kind of elevate it. Right. Go, don't just change the names and leave it the same. Like, here's what we're really doing. And just selectively being able to be involved in that process and making it fun for him has been pretty cool. So.
Yeah. What about you, John? How are you changed?
Yeah, a lot of what you guys said is the same for me, you know, and definitely having a kid at home. I have a 2.5-year-old toddler, so there's even less structure with him. You know, you talk about trying to keep a routine. He doesn't care about our routines.
No.
Not at all. Like, no. He's not interested in when daddy has to work or not work.
Non-factor.
It's not important to him. So, but to be fair, he's adapted fairly well. A lot of television has helped. You know, I hate to say it, but like, you know, we've put him in front of the TV more than we care to admit, but you know, it's helping him out. Trying to get some educational programming. But, you know, at the same time, I also like, I kind of enjoy the fact that I get to see more of him. Like, I started thinking about the fact that, like, you know, some days, like, you know, when we're working in the office, like I get up in the morning, I basically get him ready to go out the door to daycare, head to work, do my thing. By the time I get home, cook dinner, you know, get cleaned up, you know, do all the nightly routine stuff or whatever.
It's only a couple hours left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even that, I mean, with him, like he's, you know, we typically start taking him out to bed around 7:30 or so. So, you know, I'm barely getting maybe half an hour to spend with my kids sometimes. So it's kind of nice that like. Yeah. Every now and then I can take a little break, walk away from the work and just go give him a hug and watch some TV with him for a second, play with him a little bit. So it's been fun. You know, it can be stressful.
Keep
but it's
enjoying
also,
that time. Keep enjoying that time.
It's time I don't get back, you know, and soon enough he'll be, you know, a teenager and not want anything to do with me anyway.
I was just about to go there because in my household, I got Tori, who's 8 years old. And I, like you, have been totally loving the fact that my commute right now is 15 seconds from my, you know, from my bedroom office downstairs. But her and I, you know, sometime between 5:30 and 6, we're going on bike rides.
Nice.
If the weather is, you know, accommodating outside, absolutely love doing that. Yeah. Gonna miss that when we go back to commuting. But where I was going with the older kids. Yeah. So I've got a college age kid as well. And then my middle daughter's graduating from high school. Yeah. Teenagers, you know, they're at least ours or those kids are perfectly comfortable working in their own little environment, in their rooms and stuff like that. And so they're golden times when the kids are younger, no doubt about it.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll shift gears then and get into our actual topic at hand. We want to talk a little bit about marketing, and in particular, marketing in a crisis. Very relevant, obviously, for a couple of reasons. One, if you've watched television or you get ads on social media, anywhere you look and find an ad, it seems like everybody's mentioning the pandemic, mentioning COVID-19, the coronavirus. It's everywhere.
Sure.
We're probably all starting to feel maybe a little bit of fatigue around it. We probably were even before this pandemic actually started, and now it seems like it's really escalating. So, you know, for us being in a marketing world and doing marketing through Blue Star, a lot of our partners do approach us and ask, hey, how can we address this? Should we be addressing this? What should we be doing? Do we need to shift gears and talk about COVID-19 and our marketing messages? So that's why we especially wanted to bring Cordy in the day because he's kind of the mastermind behind this and does a lot of research and reading and thought about marketing. So we kind of want to talk a little bit about what should we be doing in this crisis when it comes to the coronavirus and the pandemic. Should we be addressing, should our partners be addressing it right now, or should they just steer clear for the moment?
Yeah. So, you know, not only to your point, John, are more and more people mentioning it in their marketing, whether it's TV ads or what we're seeing on social media, but we are feeling an uptick in digital marketing. You know, people who, for all industries, no one's able to travel and attend events anymore, trade shows, you know, physical ones, in-person ones anyway. So I think that there's an even higher demand for digital. And yes, it's probably every other call, or it's at least mentioned at almost every campaign kickoff call, which is, yes, should we, how should we, is usually the way it's phrased.
Right.
How should we be, you know, angling or involving our solution with, you know, the current situation? And, you know, like most things, I think whether or not a company, a solution should really be addressing it depends. You know, I think that you know, we touch a lot of different industries, being a technology distributor. And I think the obvious ones are hospitality and restaurants, who have been hugely affected. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the people who service them from a technology standpoint need to be reacting mm-hmm. and being clear. I mean, I think one of the most important things in any kind of marketing is clarity of message. So do you need to mention COVID-19, coronavirus? It depends. You know, maybe if you're talking to fire and rescue, perhaps, you know, but everyone's so aware of it. I think that you can use a little more nuance in your language and still be really clear, you know, but what are the other areas? So I mentioned hospitality and restaurants. Supply chain is being stressed, mm-hmm. definitely being affected by this. Obviously, hospital and healthcare. I mean, it really is touching a lot of areas. So if you're a solution provider in those areas, it's worth thinking about. But I think the key thing is being thoughtful about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, being honest and thoughtful. So is your solution truly mission critical? Is your company mission critical for these people? And if so, yeah. Address it for sure. But I think, you know, like any marketing messaging, you sit down and really think hard about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rule they talk about for subject lines for emails is write down 8. That means you really thought hard and you looked, you know, what's going to be the most compelling. I think before jumping at the opportunity to just say, hey, you need this because of COVID-19, think about different ways. One great example, just to mention one that was mentioned, is there was a marketing firm called Grafton who mentioned that, you know, working from home queries or Google searches have gone through the roof, you know, over the last month and a half or so. They wanted to address that. But instead of saying queries increased by 4 times during COVID-19, they're saying what we've learned about working from home over the last 2 weeks.
Yep,
and I think that's one of those really subtle, nice ways. Mm-hmm. You're basically saying the same thing mm-hmm. without, you know, using that term that I think is just inundating everybody right now.
And language is so important, right, Cordy? I mean, just kind of diving into that a little bit. As marketers, we're always super sensitive to a certain degree, but I think our partners, who sometimes have limited marketing capabilities to begin with, you know, understanding that language and context are really important in this point in time, because you don't want to write something, get a message out there that is going to rub people the wrong way, because, yeah, we all get it. We all know where we're at. You know, those types of things don't need to be overbearing with the language about, you know. So to your point, the language is a little bit more important right now, in the context of the message that you're formulating, a little bit more important in these days as well.
No, 100% agree. And, you know, to your point about language, especially in marketing, every word is important. But I'll also say that now more than ever, and I've held this feeling for quite a few years now, but now maybe more than ever, being human and being authentic is what people are looking for. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, again, we talk to partners all the time who have small marketing teams or don't have marketing teams, and I'll often hear them say, you know, marketing's not our strength. We're not marketers. Understood. But a lot of times these are technologists. These are people who can figure out how to use a MailChimp, and they're humans. So they mm-hmm. can think, who are the people we're talking to? If I were in their shoes, how would I want to be communicated with in this time? You don't want it to come across as disingenuous or sneaky or mm-hmm. opportunistic. You know, and I've also been on a number of calls, and this isn't a bad thing, where people, they're really using the word opportunity with a bit of hesitation.
right, yeah.
Because the reality is, you know, there are a lot of businesses booming at the time where a lot of businesses are dying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. I think that language is very important, but don't overthink it either. Think about how you'd want to be talked to, and go out there and write a message. And I think it's a smart idea right now to be reconsidering your tone and how you're talking to people. Not to be, you know, overly sensitive or what have you, but yeah, I think it is a really good time to just go and think about human to human interaction.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we're all in this together, so to speak, but, you know.
Yeah, but you know what I like about where you're going with that, the human to human, or just understanding that it's just, again, a hyper reality of the fact that, okay, if I'm a reseller that's in hospitality, of course, all my end users feeling the pain, they get it. Everybody understands what boat we're in. So you don't need to be overt about, you know, the language that you're using, trying to pull on heartstrings or whatnot. Those folks are looking for solutions, right? And that's what resellers do well, is that they're providing solutions. So have a human touch to it, sure, but be direct and to the point. That's kind of the guy I am anyway, you know, being very distinct and succinct about what you're trying to say. Are good rules to go by, if you will.
Definitely. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. So we get kind of touched on content creation there then, and kind of maybe some of the do's and don'ts around that. What kind of messages do you think hurt your business right now? And Cordy, you mentioned that article from what was the name of the company?
Brafton.
And you sent that to me, and I read over it too. And I remember they distinctly called out a travel company who was still messaging out emails about traveling to foreign destinations when we were maybe a couple of weeks into this already. When travel was extremely limited, if not cut off entirely by that point. And that's the kind of message that came across as a little bit
and it
could have been something that was already pre-programmed and, was just ready to roll out at a certain time. Maybe they didn't think about it ahead of time. I don't want to think there's any ill will necessarily there, obviously.
Sure.
But, right now, yes, the tone deafness occurs there. So, what do you think, what's going to hurt businesses right now? What's the wrong thing to say?
Well, so a couple of things. So, being tone deaf in your messaging in this time, people are going to remember that. You want to come out of this with kind of your integrity intact from a marketing standpoint. But, one of the really practical pieces of advice that I've seen is just, and it's one of those obvious things. We go, well, yeah, no duh. But as a marketer who's got lots of campaigns that were live before this and have launched since this, doing an audit of what's out there, because it's simple stuff. It's, a message that mentions, hey, let's meet at the coffee shop, or just everyday things that were relevant a month ago that right now, hopefully in the future we'll be back to that. Very hopeful still, but an audit of everything, like you mentioned, of things that might be on autopilot, of campaigns that may have been running from some time. Go and take a look and make sure you're just not missing the mark, because people are hyper aware of stuff like that right now. So, I think it's about kind of from a content standpoint, deciding who you want to be in this time. And, where you have a right to play, so to speak. I know in the agency world, they often talk about where a brand has a right to win, where they have authority, in a different area. And I think just, again, being honest with yourself and then being human with the people you're trying to talk to is a really good idea. I think also being closed off to change in a time like right now will hurt your business. Mm-hmm. And that might mean pricing models or actually solution offerings. Things are changing. Some of the solutions we're offering just a month or a month and a half ago really need to be rethought, especially for a reseller. Maybe your standard point of sale that you brought to your customers didn't have some of the functionality that is extremely important right now. You might need to look at that. I know that some of our partners have been talking about, ways to defer costs for new customers or even for existing customers, which I think is smart. Mm-hmm. And I've seen, again, my opinion, some people take it to an extreme where I worry that they're devaluing their solution and their offering by, really dropping prices or, first year for free. And I think we all know that you don't value something that's free nearly as much as something that has, a cost attached to it. I think striking that balance is important in this time. So, being nimble, being willing to rethink kind of your offering and your approach is really important.
So let's talk a little bit about maybe even post-crisis. We don't know how long this is going to last. Dean, you've kind of mentioned before the light at the end of the tunnel. It's small. It's there. We can see it. Things are starting to move. Things are starting to change. We expect maybe a sense of return to normalcy, whatever normalcy is after the fact, eventually. But I think where I'm concerned is what happens to those marketing messages as we go down the road? For one, are you creating content built around this right now? And if so, that content kind of becomes useless in a post-pandemic.
Yep.
And then the other thing I think about too is kind of to your point, Cordy, what you just mentioned of if you're going out there and you're promoting things and offering big discounts or trying to just win people over to get them on board, are you setting an expectation about that in the future when you no longer can afford to do that or when it's maybe no longer a good idea to do it?
Right.
So, post-crisis, what should we be thinking about now? And then how do you think this is going to change us in the future?
Well, from a content standpoint, I think you made a really good point, which is not that you can't update things, but look to create sustainability in your content even. So an example I can think of, we're working with a grocery partner, point of sale software company. And instead of taking the bait and saying, the four, key things grocers should be thinking about, during the pandemic or in COVID-19, we're just talking about the functionality that is critical right now. So it's going to be, I don't exactly know what the title is, but it's around click and collect and contactless payments. Mm-hmm. So the ability to order online, have limited physical interaction. Mm-hmm. And then for the folks, because there's still, I've been to Kroger a number of times in this period, there's still a good number of people there. I don't know if you guys have seen anything like this, but they have plastic bags pulled over the pin pads. So you can still access the, slot for your card, but you're kind of, it's strange. And it's like, man, now more than ever, people need to, you know, to adapt the Apple Pay, the Google Pay and that kind of stuff. Cause how perfect would that be for now? Yeah. So I think that's one key point. And then, you know, companies have really no choice but to shift to digital. So learn the tools. Cause like you said, coming out of this, you know, my hope still is that we get back to normal, but I think it's in a lot of ways, and we've talked about this in a broader sense, companies are being forced to embrace remote work. I think a lot of companies are being forced into digital advertising and marketing.
Yeah, definitely.
And it is a renaissance for marketing right now in terms of free tools. Mm-hmm. And this has been the case for some time. It has nothing to do with the current situation, but there really isn't any excuse for anyone to say, you know, we don't have the money. I understand that time is a constraint, but I think that people are going to be forced into going out and learning some of these tools. Mm-hmm. And like I said a second ago, you have the ability to go out and build pretty amazing, almost completely free, you know, marketing technology stack. And that's maybe another topic for another podcast, but I think that's something people should be prioritizing now. So when they come out of the crisis with some new skills, and again, a whole separate topic. I know that everyone's in a different place mentally, so on and so forth. I know for me, it's day to day in terms of me feeling great and motivated to, you know, a little bit bummed out and demotivated, but yeah,
you know. I think that could be one of the worst things to do right now as a company is to think to yourself, all right, well, when this is over, we just go back to what we always did. Mm-hmm. And I think that's from a marketing perspective too. Like if you're just now getting into like, well, hey, I was forced to do marketing that I wasn't normally comfortable with or didn't normally do because of this, because I had to get the message out, or maybe because I'm a business that people thought was just going to be shut down and have no interaction whatsoever. And maybe I needed to let people know, hey, we are still available. We can do some things during this. But I worry that there's some people that might decide, hey, after we're done with this, we just go right back to what we used to do. Word of mouth, we'll just bring people in the stores. We're fine. You know, we don't need to do anything else.
Well, and as with most things, it'll be a blend. You know, so I couldn't agree with you more, Cordy, that right now I think that people are taking a completely new look at digital marketing. Why? Because budgets have changed. Well, you know, obviously some have shrunk, but for those entities that still have budgets, they're not doing events anymore. So what do we do with those dollars?
That's a big chunk.
You know, right. And so the shift is over to digital because that's a touchless type of medium. People are going to learn that. They're going to learn some of the tools of the trade. I don't think that they'll forget them, you know, moving forward. But I couldn't agree with you more, John, that, yeah, you can't go back to where we were is just not practical.
Right.
You know, I mean, things are definitely going to change. Another thing that I was thinking about is that, you know, even small resellers, they have a sales team. And I think complicit to the marketing approach is not just getting the message out to end users, but it's also enabling your team. Mm. There's a new normal. There's so much video conferencing going on right now. And, you know, sales reps that were used to pressing the flesh, they can't do that. But you can still enable your sales team by giving them digital tools. I'm suspecting that there's a ramp up of PowerPoint presentations that are now being dusted off, reutilized, modified, amped up, whatever, those types of tools to really, again, I'll just restate it, enable your existing staff, sometimes that sales staff, with delivering the message. You know, whereas, okay, your sales guy couldn't go out to the manufacturer to sell the transportation and logistics solution that you guys were going to pitch them, but you can still enable that sales team by giving them digital marketing tools. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're shooting videos now, you know, in a little bit more of a raw form.
That's what you just made me think about.
Yeah, did I? Okay.
A second.
Well, right. I mean, that's what I think I've learned out of this is, you know, when I take a step back is, okay, what tool sets do we have that we can leverage in a new way? It just so happened to be that we were getting into this podcast business right when COVID hit. So that's nice. But we've had a lot of events that canceled. We're not proponents of virtual events because we feel that human touch is very important. But what we have done is pivoted to more video production and describing solutions. So I think that resellers could do that too. I mean, just set up a little area in their office or even somebody's home, right? Everybody's got cameras on their computers. They all understand that now. So just show your solution using that. So it's a little bit of a pivot, I guess, of just understanding and yet utilizing those assets. And I know you're a proponent of this, Cordy. Once you have that asset, man, leverage it, right? Yep. Get it out into social media. Get it out. Email your customers, your clients with those assets. Those are look, if I put myself in the shoes of a restaurant owner or a manufacturer, and I got an email from my rep from XYZ reseller that was a genuine video created by that rep saying, "Hey, Dean, you know, just wanted to let you know this solution exists, and it's kind of raw or whatever."
Yeah.
I'd be like, that's pretty cool. You know, I appreciate the communication and wanting to at least keep me on the loop on how this reseller might still be able to help me. I don't know.
I think that is a excellent point. I mean, because one of the things I thought about, you know, on my way here and the days leading up to this was, man, when you are trying to communicate with, not to use the overused term, but essential workers, whether it's people in hospitals, supply chain folks, restaurant folks, what is the best format to get to them? I don't know. But as you're sitting here saying this, I'm considering that maybe, you know, meaning, is it a Facebook ad that's not very human? It comes from a company. Is it a LinkedIn ad? Is it a email blast? Pardon me, sorry.
That you might send out, right?
Right. But yeah. I think that the idea of a personalized video.
It can help.
It's awesome. I mean, let me ask you this question, guys. When you were in office, how often would you share your video when you were on a conference?
Never.
How often do you do it now?
All the time.
Yeah.
So in the same way I was saying that a lot of VARs and integrators are being pulled into digital marketing, I think a lot of people like us who are in our late 30s, early 40s, are being pulled into a comfort level with video. Mm-hmm. I am not comfortable being on video for the most part, but I am now.
Yeah.
Now when I have a one-on-one with a teammate, I turn my video on. They go, "Oh, you can turn your video on. I'll turn my video on."
Right.
So with that being said, you know, I'm going to tie a couple different points together. That's been a good thing, I think, for a lot of people because, again, it's one way to keep a personal touch in digital marketing. I think that a lot of times, and I kind of made this point before, people put marketing, digital marketing, but just marketing on a bit of a pedestal. Mm-hmm. That's not what we do. That's not my expertise.
Right.
I'm a salesperson. I'm a CEO.
There's some fear there. What is that?
You know, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it shouldn't be that way for a couple of reasons. First of all, like we said before, authenticity, unpolished approach, I think is appreciated. Mm-hmm. And also a lot of small, you know, SMB type businesses, the reality is you can't afford agency type work in an ongoing way. Could you get their help for a video here for, you know, a key piece of your marketing you're going to use for the next year, 2 years, maybe. But could you use them every week in your day-to-day business communicating with your customers? No, you can't. I mean, if you can, great. But in most cases, these companies can't. And I think they would realize some benefits, again, from digging in themselves, figuring this stuff out. I mean, the reality, I've had these conversations with people before. I've been marketing now for design was my background, which is part of my point, for 15-ish years. And I've been doing digital marketing for 9. And a lot of my digital marketing, that's not what I went to school for. I went to school for interactive design. And those things, I think, are very intertwined and very important to one another. But man, you learn from doing. And I think that's where people's heads should be.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It's just a slight shift in how you utilize the tools, how you enable your team. I mean, you've got a sales team, just enable them. You know, what can enable them? Or just maybe lead them to the water of, hey, you should record a video on that and send it out to your best customers or whatever, and we can post it up socially.
Yes, and you know what? I meant to give a shout out when you were speaking to Drift. So we recently, as you guys-
I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Good call. We'll talk about that a little bit. So a company called Drift, and I'm sure there are any number of companies, Drift is the one that we're working with. They have a couple of different tools. We're utilizing them for chatbot technology, which people are probably-
Another podcast.
Yep. Yeah. Another podcast, definitely. Another topic. But then also they have a free tool called the Drift Video. Mm-hmm. And it enables exactly what Dean was talking about, which is down and dirty, individualized videos. I use my webcam. Hey, James, you know, thanks for reading the ebook. I wanted to tell you a little bit about what our company does, who we serve, how we work, how quickly we can get up and running, 30, 40 seconds at the most. And then the really key part, and I'm a tactical guy. As much as I love to talk strategy, the tactics are so important. The details are so important. The real beauty in that is that when I then go to send this email to an individual, I take either a still image of myself or a quick GIF where I'm somehow indicating to them visually that I've created this just for them.
Mm-hmm.
The most creative way I've seen that done is a salesperson actually drew the Blue Star logo on the whiteboard behind them and took their photo, which was in the body of the email. So I receive the email, I see someone's smiling face, and I see that they've drawn, somewhat crudely, the Blue Star logo behind them. Actually, it was a pretty decent drawing. And I went, oh my God.
This guy's put some time into it.
Yeah, this was probably 2 years ago, but I had never seen it before, and it was so impactful. And then the marketer in me went, they're going to know if I click this link,
oh, yeah.
Which is the other key part. you can track it. So you send that one-to-one. It's important that it's one-to-one, because if I created one, because a lot of people go, oh, James, this is great, but how can I scale it? How can I create one video and send it to 100 people? You could, but then you're not going to know if it was the 67th person or the 13th person that clicked and watched it.
Right.
If I create a video and send it to John, use that device to make John know, holy crap, James did this just for me. I got to go check this out, which is going to cut through the clutter. Yeah. And then I know he was the one that watched it if I only sent it to him.
So valuable.
You know, and what I like about the Drift particular product, and I think it ties into where I was in my head, is that, you know, if you're a marketer on the staff, or even if you're the owner of the company, of the reseller, you know, technology company, here's a tool that can enable your sales team, right? So you're just enabling those folks to now continue what they used to be doing in a press the flesh kind of a way, but now it's digital and you're creating assets. In this case, we're using Drift. It is a personal one-to-one type of tool that, believe you me, in our new normal where everybody's comfortable using their webcam, it's not that difficult to pull off.
Agreed. No.
If you can draw on a piece of paper and say, hi, you know, and hit record, you're good to go.
Yeah.
So I don't know, John, getting back to the post-crisis. I mean, I think that, again, in my mind, I think it's a blend, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that we're going to never do events again. Events will come back someday because there's just value in being able to sit down with somebody and talk about a solution and develop a relationship that's meaningful. That's never going away. That's been in humanity since whatever, bazaars back in, before Christ. But, you know, so that's still going to happen, but you can still use these digital tools. And so it'll just look a little bit different.
Yep,
but I'm an optimist in a good way, right?
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the lesson there kind of is everybody can be a marketer. Like, you don't have to be in marketing. You don't have to, you know, have taken marketing courses. You don't have to be the marketing person at your company. You can still do marketing.
Yes.
And there are easy, quick ways to do it. And we've all found some just by doing this. Just the video conferencing tools alone kind of makes you a marketer in a way. If you can easily get, you know, jump on a call with somebody, put yourself on video, show them something. Like you said, that's a quick and easy way to do some marketing.
And it is the best way to learn what really works.
Yep.
People, you know, every now and again, I'll get that question. Well, James, what do you think? Should we do this or should we do that? And because honesty is so important, I'll say, I don't know, but let's do both and figure it out. And then next time I get asked that question, I'll go, well, I only have a little bit of data, but here is what I know from actually doing it.
Yep.
There's just nothing better than actually getting in the trenches and learning. Mm-hmm. Even if you, you know, flounder a little bit in the beginning, you're going to learn what doesn't work and go from there.
I agree. All right. Well, hey, we've had a great conversation here. So good, actually. We do want to keep Cordy around. We're actually going to record another podcast here soon with Cordy about email marketing. So if you like what you've heard today, you want to hear again from a pro in all things digital marketing, check back in for our podcast on email marketing with James as well. But right now, I do want to shift gears, though, and pick up on a couple of our recurring segments. They will be recurring segments throughout this podcast.
Yep.
The first is we want to talk about is value to the VARs. Obviously, you know, we expect a lot of resellers to be listening to us. You know, we are a reseller-facing company, and we want to, you know, help them in any way we can. So coming back around to this conversation about marketing in a crisis, let's talk about how can marketing impact VARs right now? I think we've kind of touched on a lot of that, but let's, you know, hone it down to the talking points of how can it help them right now in their business?
Mm-hmm.
James, I'll start with you.
Sure, I'll jump in. So I'm just going to reiterate and kind of recap what I've said, which is think about who you want to be now and in the future. Who is your company? What's your character? Who do you want to be in this moment? Think empathy, authenticity, and think about the best ways to present your message. We've thrown out the idea of these personalized videos, maybe a webinar, you know, something that maybe keeps the human touch in there, but also the tried and true, you know, ebooks, infographics. Think about form factor and standing out, because there's a lot of noise right now with everyone kind of, you know, putting a greater focus on digital. We got to get creative. You know, we got to get creative. And it's a unique time because some of our customers are in a tough spot and we are kind of walking on eggshells as marketing people, and for good reason, but, you know, give some thought to being human and the best way to approach these folks and keep after it, because what's the other option? We just, you know, go dark.
Right.
Right.
You know, businesses are fighting for their lives out there. So get creative, get scrappy, get a little DIY.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Another term for it is guerrilla marketing, which, you know, ebbs and flows a little bit of one thing that we didn't get to, John, though, that I do think is important when you think about what the value to the VAR is that, Should VARs be marketing? Absolutely. You should. To your point, Cordy, we should be marketing. You know, you have to get out there. You have to communicate. But marketing comes in a lot of different forms. It's not just running an ad in Google or whatnot. It's enabling your team. It's making sure that they understand the language, you know, that you guys have thought about and the context and what those pitches are going to be. It's maybe polishing some tool sets that you already had with the PowerPoints and stuff like that. But it's also prioritizing. And Cordy, I'm totally with you on this, too. You know, it's okay to test because everybody's trying something. And believe you me, at Blue Star, we've got in the marketing team, we've got people coming up to us literally every day. Hey, we got an idea. Let's try this idea. Yeah. Here's a marketing idea.
Right.
They're all potentially great ideas.
Brand new product ideas.
You got to prioritize, though, right? Because, and I'm sure a lot of people are already kind of through this initial wave of all of this, you know, how do I get through some of these things? But prioritize. Keep the basics there, prioritize some of the efforts, and make sure that you're enabling your team members along the way. I think that'll be very helpful for resellers that are out there today.
Definitely, agreed. Yeah, I think also thinking about the human element too, that you know, you don't always have to be, marketing isn't always necessarily about showing off a new product or a service or, you know, here's what we've got right now, here's what's on sale right now. Mm-hmm. It can also just be brand awareness and awareness of you understanding people and being there for them. You know,
right.
Sometimes the best connections you make are with people that you can't actually do anything for or help right now, but they know who you are and they know what you do. So maybe it's reaching out to some of your customers, your established customers or people that you were trying to develop relationships with and just checking in with them and saying, hey, I know things are crazy right now. Depending on what their job is and what their role might be, they may have more or less time to talk to you. You know, just talk to them a little bit, find out what's going on. Talk to them about some of the things we talked about at the beginning of this podcast. What's your routine look like? How are you dealing with all of this? Just have a little bit of empathy and concern, even if it has nothing to do with, you know, you selling something and does not result with you, you know, making an offer or, you know, showing them a product or anything. By the end of that conversation, you've told someone, hey, I care enough about you to reach out and talk to you right now.
I'm really glad you said that. Because as I was listening to Dean talk, I go, man, I totally didn't touch at all on just being helpful to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, as a solution provider, being realistic about, you know, no one is, I don't think anyone is deploying big sophisticated technology rollouts right now. They're prioritizing speed to deploy and, you know, relative cost. So again, to your point, it's a really good one. Even if the way to help right now isn't your product or service. Yeah. Being helpful to people. Yeah. Showing them that you care about them. Another thing I thought of that I forgot to mention is partnering. You know, I spoke to a software partner of ours the other day who, I don't know that I'm at liberty to divulge all the details of what they're up to, but one of the key takeaways I had from the conversation was this gentleman was looking to other organizations to bring them together from a thought leadership standpoint. And I will mention that one of the companies organizations he'd reached out to was the ACLU for privacy concerns. He wanted to do things the right way, realizing that, you know, there's opportunity right now, but you don't want to come across as being exploitative. So it's, let's not only make sure we're solving a problem and actually solving a problem, but that we're doing it the right way. So partnership, whether it's, you know, there's a whole branch of marketing called cause marketing. I'm not going to tell people to go out there and just find someone to go, hey, look, we're right. partnering with these guys. Mm-hmm. But if there are natural, you know, alliances out there, mm-hmm. you know, don't be scared to go and embrace those.
Yeah. I think we were talking about this weeks ago and when we were kind of discussing the idea that we're seeing so much branding and marketing out there. And I think the thing I said to you was, I think it's okay to be irrelevant, but supportive right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine if you are not the person that someone needs to hear from right now, but it's okay if they hear from you just to say, hey, how you doing? I want to talk to you for a few minutes.
Yep. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. That gets back to the communication, mm-hmm. right? Now is the time to communicate. And as marketers, what we should be sensitive to is listening to the feedback that's happening. So one nice thing that's come out of this pandemic, if you will, is that, yeah, everybody is online now and doing these virtual meetings, but I know our team is having more cadences, you know, maybe their morning meetings or whatnot, and just kind of listening. What's important there is that when your sales team is out, they're the ones. So, okay, they're communicating, they're getting the feedback, but that feedback's got to make it back mm-hmm. into those that are responsible for marketing, because you can look for ways to now address the community and the needs of the community that you were serving before. Maybe you're going to find a different solution. Maybe you're going to pivot part of your business to address a part of that need. Don't know what it is unless you know you're in the communication flow. And then you can develop messaging around it. But anyway.
Yeah. Definitely. All right, great. Great talking points. If anybody else has some suggestions out there or some things they've been doing that have been working for them, they feel like really is moving the mark during a crisis, let us know. You can find us on Twitter at TechConnectPod. That's TECONNECT.
Just one C.
That's right. or you can email us TechConnect@BlueStarInc.com. All right, well, we want to wrap up with something a little bit fun here. We've decided to have a little recurring segment called What's Tech Connecting With You? For this segment, I'm going to go around the horn and we're all going to talk about a piece of technology or something in the digital world that is exciting us right now, that's interesting us, something we're finding useful, could be something we're actually using, something we're just reading about, something that's just catching our attention. We just want to share something a little bit fun and interesting that's drawing our eyes right now. It doesn't have to be channel related. It could be something in your personal life. James, I'll let you start.
So an area that I've been pretty interested in doing some reading around lately, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, is likely the 2020 word of the year, which is social distancing. Because it's such a unique new terminology mm-hmm. that wasn't part of our vocabulary, you know, last year, I think it'll be the word of 2020.
Oh,
anyway,
sure.
My real point is I'm aware of some companies who are using technology to solve for enforcing this, for lack of a better term, when larger retail spaces or manufacturing spaces start to reopen. And I find it interesting because it is one of those situations where you look at this and go, man, this is a technology challenge. So when I think about the companies addressing this, this is their calling right now. They mm-hmm. need to figure this out because we need to figure this out as a society. And where I've really been interested in is, okay, I kind of understand the different ways you might be able to measure space and capacity and things like that. But what does the notification system look like? Mm-hmm. So I'm at Kroger. Mm-hmm. People are standing around waiting for turkey at the, you know, mm-hmm. meat counter. And there's too many of us too close together. Does a 19-year-old have to come out with a broom and shoo us all away? Is there an announcement over the loudspeaker? You know, truly, what does that piece look like?
Right.
And I don't know. I think, I'll put it this way. I think that the company who might gain some mindshare in this space will have some suggestions around that. Instead of, well, we don't know, here's how to measure the data, because there's always data right. and analysis of that data, but then what do you do with it, right? That's kind of that whole IoT conversation. So I'm very curious to know what that's going to look like. Or if it's just, hey, we're measuring it, our IT team has it, and we can report on it, you know, from a regulation standpoint. So I'm just very interested. I know you guys have probably seen the article.
Yeah.
I'll cut this off in a second, but between Google and Apple and the mm-hmm. contact tracing
right. yep.
and the
mm-hmm.
privacy concerns, it's just, yep. it's very interesting to me where it's a need, but also, you know, there are some concerns around the technology as well.
Potentially big brothery, you know, in the wrong situation, in the wrong hands, potentially.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm with you. And what's fascinating about it is that it's like, we know all the technology is there to make that happen, but stitching it all together, it's right. like, it's like the great nirvana of IoT. Okay. There's sensors and there's data. And, but who's going to stitch all this together? Who's going to make the digital signage fire and say, hey, you step
3 foot.
Step, then you can back up 3 feet, right. type of a thing. Right?
Where they, but you get a text message on your phone. It says,
it's
you're
so
standing
fast.
Too close to someone else. Get away. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a commentary on so much of the technology that we have in our society today. You brought it up earlier. Without streaming services, if this pandemic had hit in 1970 and we have 3 channels to watch, and it's like, what is it? Well, of course, I guess kids are outside more, but. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's, yeah, that's an yeah. interesting view, if you will. Mine's way, way more simpler than that. I've been into wearables lately. I don't know. I've had this Apple Watch for about 6 months now, and I am intrigued on a weekly basis on finding more out about me, my heart, my whatever. And so I'm enabling more apps on it, stuff like that. I'm fascinated by what just one simple wearable and how it can track, you know, what you're doing on a personal basis and your body and stuff like that. Pretty fascinating stuff. Lots of wormholes you can go down yeah. to on a wearable.
I know you are like an everyday runner, right?
Well, 4 times a week.
Okay.
Religiously.
Because I will say, for me, I used to be, as you know, I've had some knee issues recently, but I find that I feel better about myself when I look down and I see that I've hit my steps.
Right.
Which is happening less frequently right now than it was in the past. But it is interesting how there's that psychological element to it where you go, okay, yeah. good. I've been somewhat healthy today. I've gotten out and gotten 1,200 steps in or whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Dean, let me ask you, are you... Have you reached the point though where you're starting to yell at your watch when it's telling you like, hey, you need to stand up now, or you're just a little behind your pace for the day?
No, see, I've turned those off.
Okay.
I've turned off
I probably
that kind
should
of stuff.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. I use it to kind of monitor at the end of the day or whatnot. I've got my sleep that I'm monitoring now, which is kind of cool. You know, it tells, which is, it's a lot of it's reinforcing. Like I wake up and man, that I did not have a good night's sleep. I look at my app. Yep. I did not have a good night's sleep, but you know, it tries to drill in, give you a little bit, you know, what did you do yesterday? Did you have alcohol? Oh yeah, I did. Okay. Well then, yeah. So you didn't have a good night's sleep and your heart rate didn't dip as much and all this stuff. It's really fascinating. But no, I haven't turned it off, but I have noticed that it does go out. I figured it out, but I haven't gotten into the routine of hitting do not disturb when I'm sleeping. Oh, yeah. So I'll be sitting there and then all of a sudden it'll tell me it starts to stand. No, I'm not going to stand. I'm trying to go to sleep. So
you know, I'm
a little bit of a disconnect
mine.
There. But.
I usually just use mine to find my missing phone. That's my number one.
Oh, yes. Boop, boop, boop. Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
Where the hell did I leave my phone?
You know what I recently turned on, I guess on my iPhone, but it's tied into the watch, is the nighttime thing or the bedtime, I think they call it. So here's what I'll tell you. I'm not very good at all about being consistent, which they say is one of the most important things about quality sleep is going to bed at the same time.
Right.
Very bad at that. But it's at least nice to get the reminder. The best thing about it is when it wakes me up at 6:45 every morning, it's like the alarm song music it plays. You guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
This is very new for me.
No.
It is the best way to get woken up. My wife even commented
on it. Is it soft? Like, does it start
it's
off?
It's so
nice
soft. And, okay. But it's just enough where you're like, it's part of your dream. And then you kind of come to and go, oh, that's my alarm. I have to wake up now. It is the best alarm that I've ever experienced. And I didn't know that going in, but.
I might have to try that.
Oh, I'm trying it.
Yeah. Try it tonight.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
What are you going to get off the hook? What's the technology that's intriguing you?
I've got one for sure. So I'm even going to, like, you know, so James had some great ideas around like actual industry type stuff and, you know, future effects. You had something healthy. I'm going to talk about sports.
All right. Fair enough.
And obviously there's a lack thereof right now. And I know the three of us all like sports and there's plenty of people listening, I'm sure, that are big sports fans that are missing out on, you know, some of their favorite sports. Well, for me, I'm a baseball guy. I'm a huge baseball guy. So opening day coming and going with nothing, you know, to do was killing me. But what I will say, it's been interesting to see the different, you know, sports platforms and leagues try to figure out how to cope with this. And of course, you know, you can go on television and watch plenty of like old games and classic stuff, everything, and that's fun. What I've been really interested in, because I'm a baseball fan, is MLB.com and just MLB in general has been doing some amazing content around this time. And beyond just the classic games, they've been doing plenty of that. And they were always great at content anyway, but there's so much stuff they're putting out there. They're doing like daily interesting interactive quizzes. They do deep dives into like classic stories. They had lots of cool lists, you know, like ranking all the World Series teams from the last 20 years from best to worst, you know. But my favorite thing is they're doing something right now called the Dream Bracket, which is they've taken all 30 teams and built the greatest team of all time from players that played for at least three or more seasons on those teams. So to give you an example, Cincinnati Reds is my favorite team. So, you know, the Reds have plenty of the big red machine players, Johnny Bench, Dave Concepcion, you know, Joey Votto is on that team. He's the only current modern player on there. Yeah. So, yeah, there's Eric Davis, like a lot of the best of the best are on there. And they're putting them basically in a bracket style, like NCAA bracket style tournament against one another, moving through this bracket. And like, and they're actually live streaming the games. What they do is they have a simulation software.
Gotcha.
A company that does a simulation software. So they're simulating out the games. They're quick games. They take maybe half an hour to play through. Where they simulate them out. I think they start like every batter starts off at the end of their at bat, basically with, you know, either to strike out, get a walk, get a hit, whatever. Moves pretty rapidly through there, does automatic changes. All these statistics they've built together to figure out which of these teams are the best. Well, the Reds right now are actually just moved into the Final Four. They're going to play, as of this recording, they're going to be playing the Dodgers this Friday in the Final Four to face off against whoever, whichever one of them wins, goes on to face off against the American League team in the championship. And I was watching one of these games a couple of days ago. It was when the Reds were playing the Pirates, and it was the game six, and like it was coming down to the end. I think Reds were up 4-2, and Joey Votto hits a 3-run home run to put them way ahead and secure the win for them to move on. And I found myself literally sitting there listening to these. They actually have commentators. They brought in actual MLB Network commentators to comment on the game. He hits the home run. I found myself actually throwing my arms up. Like, yes! It was so satisfying.
That's really cool.
It's what I'm so missing right now about
right.
baseball. I'm not actually being on. And it was just something fun and exciting. So shout out to MLB.
Brilliant.
And to their content.
Brilliant.
Amazing.
That's really cool.
There, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, that does it for us today here on Tech Connect. It's time for us to unplug. We want to thank everyone so much for listening. James, we want to thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Like I said, if you like what you heard from him, he's going to be back with us to talk a little bit about email marketing. In the meantime, for Dean Reverman, I'm John Martin. Thanks for plugging in with us and get connected.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Tech Connect Podcast is brought to you by Zebra. Do you create innovative problem-solving software but struggle to expand your audience or engage with hardware manufacturers? Zebra is ready to help with their Partner Connect program.
As a member, you can take advantage of development support, go-to-market tools and resources, and collaborate to establish new reseller relationships. Zebra will also provide technical support, testing, discounted demo equipment, and more while improving your visibility with their partners, resellers, and sales team.
To learn more and sign up, visit Zebra's microsite on BlueStarInc.com under Partner Resources. While you're there, check out BlueStar's Tech Connect program. That name sounds familiar. Designed to help you engage across the reseller ecosystem and provide additional opportunities to network, meet new partners, and even take advantage of our unique end-user marketing strategies. Sign up now at TechConnect.com. The Tech Connect podcast is brought to you by Honeywell. While consumers in the food service industry are struggling to adjust to the no-touch, reduced-contact world, restaurants are caught in the middle. They are navigating how to care for their teams and businesses while taking measures to help protect the spread of pathogens between staff and customers.
Honeywell has a lot of experience when it comes to developing, providing secondary scanner solutions that are especially suited for no-touch, reduced-touch environments, such as drive-thrus. Honeywell's lineup of barcode scanners offers a safe alternative while allowing for increased cashier productivity.
Contact your Blue Star representative to evaluate your unique needs and see why the Honeywell scanner solutions are the right choice for meeting current and long-term needs of quick-serve restaurants. Projectors and whiteboards are old school. Even throwing a presentation up on a static digital display is yesterday's news. For truly innovative collaboration tools, look no further than Elo.
Simply pair one of Elo's large format interactive displays with an Elo computer module, Edge Connect conference camera, and stylus kit to build a powerful collaboration and video conferencing solution designed to improve the digital workplace. Elo large format displays are backed by a 3-year warranty with quick on-site replacement. As a bonus, select hardware includes a free 1-year subscription to Display Note Montage, a bring-your-own-device content-sharing software that brings interactivity and easy-to-use tools to your employees and presenters, whether they're all together or remote.
Elo Corporate Collaboration Solutions, the convergence of live and interactive. Contact the Blue Star Elo team to learn more.